There's so much out there, and I really encourage everyone to do some of your own research. But I've generally found that people pleasers fall into one or more of three categories.
That's Kate Riggers, and this is the Depression Detox Show. Welcome back to the Depression Detox Show, where we share ideas and stories to help you live a happier life. I am your host, Malik Josephs. Happy Thursday. I am thankful for you tuning in with me today as we have recovering people pleaser Kate Riggers making her first appearance on the show, and she is here to teach us an invaluable lesson of how to reclaim our power by becoming an anti-people pleaser. Here's Kate Riggers. Enjoy.
I'll never forget this one night. I was in the library with one of my friends about 2 months into my term doing some homework. And I had just gotten a huge influx of emails to my president's email inbox. And it seemed that everybody needed something from me that night. I was already so overwhelmed and burnt out that I was at a loss. I was going through this internal battle of being angry because I felt like I never had any time for me or my needs, but also needing to fulfill this internal desire that I had built up within myself to make every single other person around me happy, including every single one of my chapter members. I was sitting at the table with my head in my hands, feeling so defeated, when my friend looked at me and somehow knew what was going through my head and just goes, "Kate, don't you ever say no to people?" And I could probably tell you the number of times that my jaw has physically dropped. It's less than 5. But this was one of those moments, because as I sat there and I reflected on her question, I honestly couldn't tell her the last time I had told someone no. This was a really defining moment for me, because the culmination of my exhaustion, anger, and my friend's statement really triggered something in me. I went home that night and I journaled until I couldn't feel my fingers anymore. And as I stared at my thoughts spilled out onto the pages in front of me, I knew that the type of leader that I wanted to be for my chapter and the type of person that I wanted to be in society wasn't going to be attainable given the lifestyle that had seemingly put me on a one-way track to burnout. So what did I do? Well, first I freaked out a little bit because I didn't know what to do. I was at a loss for how to categorize what I was going through, and because I couldn't categorize it, I didn't know how to fix it. After my momentary freak out, I did what anyone my age does, and I turned to the internet. I spent the next week of my life reading blogs and books, listening to podcasts, and truly just reflecting on the situation that I was in. And at the end of that week, I self-diagnosed myself as a people-pleasing addict. Now that I was able to categorize what I was going through, it was time to figure out how to fix it. How did I reverse all of the bad habits that I'd subconsciously been accumulating over the last 20 years of my life? At this point, I recognized that I was so far past the line of just being a concerned and caring human being that it was going to take a major mindset and lifestyle shift for me to truly take back my life. Instead of being the ultimate people pleaser like I was, to just being an average people pleaser, I was going to be an anti-people pleaser. Now, I recognize that most of the people in this room are probably not sorority presidents. So you might be thinking, "But Kate, I haven't had my epiphany yet. How do I know if I'm a people pleaser?" This is where the solid week of my life that I spent way too deep into the internet comes in handy. There's so much out there, and I really encourage everyone to do some of your own research. But I've generally found that people pleasers fall into one or more of three categories. The first category is the responsible one. This type of people pleaser loves to take responsibility for other people's feelings and emotions, and often feels as if their actions as a human being are tied to other people's emotional outcomes, even if they hardly know the person at all. It can feel incredibly disappointing for this person to find out that someone was unhappy and they were somehow, some way related to the cause of that unhappiness. Or if someone was upset and they did everything in their power to try to cheer that person up and it just wasn't working. This person would do anything in their power to make those around them happy, even if it comes at the cost of their own health. Number two, the conflict avoider. This type of person would rather move to a remote island in the middle of nowhere than be in the face of conflict. As a people pleaser, it's so common to experience conflict and automatically assume that conflict means anger and that means unhappiness. And as a people pleaser, that just naturally goes against everything that we want in life. This type of person also tends to be very indecisive because we understand that decisions can be very divisive. And again, that just naturally goes against our nature. So we'd rather sit back and let other people make the decisions for us. Number three, the mirror. To this person, the best way to make those around them happy is to be a direct reflection of a person or of a group of people. They might find their personality shifting a bit more than the average person's between their different interactions with groups of people, and they tend to go along with what other people think, feel, and want, even if it's not what they actually think, feel, and want, to create less friction in their lives. Now that we've defined the categories, how do we break out of them? How do you become an anti-people pleaser? Again, there is so much research on the internet. I really encourage everyone to go out there and do some of your own. But I've been on this journey for over a year, and I've learned a thing or two. So I want to share with you all a few tools that I've added to my well-being toolkit, if you will. Number one, shift your vocabulary. A people pleaser's favorite term is usually something along the lines of "I'm sorry," and their least favorite term is typically "no." Now, I'm not saying that you need to completely eliminate "I'm sorry" from your vocabulary and start telling everyone in your life "no," but we have to start somewhere. A good trick that I learned here was instead of saying "yes" or "no," instead say "let me get back to you." It's not a yes, and it's not a no, and it gives you time to process the ask before fully committing to something. I can't count the number of times that I've double booked myself because I was so quick in saying yes to someone when a simple glance at my schedule would have proved my ability to commit otherwise. Once you get better at saying, "let me get back to you," start practicing saying no and start small. Practice when you're alone. I'm not lying, I did this. I stood in front of my mirror in my room when I was all alone and when it mattered the very least, because sometimes the pure horror that was associated with telling people no was so overwhelming to me. And practicing it really allowed me to build up the confidence to say it when it mattered the most. I found that as I built up the confidence to say no, I wasn't putting myself in compromising situations. I was able to identify when I didn't want to do something or when I didn't want to be somewhere before I committed to it, rather than committing to it and being miserable in the situation. And I found that I was overall so much happier because I wasn't giving myself up for those around me. Number two, get better at drawing lines. Maybe not physically on paper, but generally within your life. This is where it can be really helpful to identify what kind of people pleaser you are and which of the categories you fall into. Then identify those areas of your life where you find yourself crossing over from being a concerned and caring person to craving the feeling of needing others around you to be happy. What I found really helpful here was to journal. When did I find myself giving more to others and not enough to myself? What were some recent moments in my life where I found myself being unauthentic for the sake of others? What types of conflict did I tend to avoid and why? When you find that you can identify these areas of your life where you might be taking on a bit too much, or when you need to take a step back, you'll find that you have so much more room to give to other areas. Now, this last one is arguably what I believe to be the most important one. Treat yourself like the people that you are always trying to make happy. So often as people pleasers, we get caught up with needing to fulfill the needs of others that we forget about our own. I cannot tell you how many times during presidency I had small moments where I realized I was not a great leader, friend, or student when I was neglecting my own needs for everyone else's. And I'm a firm believer that everyone should have a list of things that make you happy. And if you don't, now you have something to do when we leave here today. But the beauty of the list is that when you ask yourself, what am I doing today to make me happy? Which you should be doing. You have a list right in front of you. Maybe it's going for a walk, or going to Starbucks to get the cup of coffee that you really want, or going to the gym for 2 hours. I don't know. I don't care. Your list is up to you. But you absolutely should be doing at least one thing for yourself every single day. Take the time to make sure that you're happy, because you can't fill up other people's cups if yours isn't full as well. I really want to emphasize the importance of starting small. Rome wasn't built in a day, and healthy habits take time to develop. Give yourself grace and acknowledge that you matter and that your health matters. If there's one thing that I've learned over this past year, it's that you physically, mentally, and emotionally cannot make everyone happy. And honestly, the only happiness that should matter is your own.
Big thanks to Kate Briggers for stopping by. And the takeaways from her talk today is to first identify what type of people pleaser you are. And she gave a few examples of those, which I like to share. And the first one was a responsible people pleaser. And these are the people that do anything to make other people happy, and they often feel burnt out and depleted because of it. The second type of people pleaser that she mentioned was a conflict avoider. And this is something that resonates with me, because I tend to identify with this more so than the other two. But this one is allowing people to almost in a sense run over you because you don't want to cause any waves. So you suppress speaking up for yourself. And the last one, number three, is she calls the mirror people pleaser. And this is a people pleaser that takes on multiple roles. So if you have anyone next to you, whether it be a friend or a group of friends, you tend to take on different roles to agree with any of these or all of these people. And then after you identify what type of people pleaser you are, then she shares ways to become an anti-people pleaser. And those are, number one, to shift your vocabulary by saying, let me get back to you, rather than saying yes immediately. And that gives you some time to actually sit back and think and how you feel before you go ahead and say yes. And it also builds up the confidence and the courage for you to say no. And as she mentioned, a few ways to kind of start off small and then build your way up to being able to say no more consistently, after obviously checking in with yourself. And number two, to become an anti-people pleaser, she mentioned getting better at creating boundaries for ourselves But first, we must take inventory of what we do when we people please, the different scenarios that we're in while we're people pleasing. So that may take some time to identify by taking some time for yourself and writing some things down or recording some things. I usually record myself as I'm thinking, because sometimes writing takes a little bit too much time for me. And my brain works so quickly that I don't have time to actually jot it down quickly enough. So I tend to record. So any way that you feel is best for you to take inventory of, or something that you can actually have to look back at so you can see how to better create those boundaries. And then lastly is to make your own happy list and do things to fill your own cup up. Because oftentimes when you're a people pleaser, I think we all are to a certain extent, just depending, there's a spectrum obviously. But oftentimes if you're a people pleaser and you're way on the other side of the Libra scale, so to speak, then you tend to be depleted. So finding ways to fill your cup up and do things that are satisfactory to you will allow you to then give more to other people and not feel so depleted or so burnt out. All right, that is it. If you'd like to connect with Kate Riggers, you can go and check her Instagram out. That is Kate.Riggers. And if you'd like to watch the entire talk, you can go to YouTube and type in How to Be an Anti-People Pleaser, Kate Riggers, TEDx, Montana State University. All right, that is a wrap for me. I appreciate you. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and I will see you back here tomorrow. So, until then, stay strong. Later.